Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Grateful for each and every one of you who will join us tonight. We look forward to more substantive and informative dialogue. All right? 657-383-0944. That is the number to call into the live studio tonight for this broadcast on this May 13th, 2021. Welcome you to call us. All right? Given the devastating effect that controlled substances have and continue to have on young lives, it begs the question, what is the purpose of taking an external non-medicinal chemical, that any kind of substance, into one's body? With what? That's simply what we're talking about tonight. Guarding the mind from superfluity in life. That's our topic. I'd love for you to join us tonight. Again, the number is 657-383-0944. And as with usual, if you've been following us, you know that unless we're having an open mic session, that I have a topic, which is guarding the mind from superfluities in life. All right, that's our topic tonight, and that's what we'll be speaking from. So we'll present you the monologue briefly. And for any new listeners, the monologue is intended to give some sort of frame of reference for the discussion that we will have this evening, okay? And at some point that we can come back to. Now, while I don't purport to have all the answers, I have taken time to research and study to ensure that we're offering you factual information. We open the floor respectfully to those who have a counterpoint or want to add something to that, so that we can have that discussion. That's how we do it here on Talk Straight. Either way, we tell the truth and let the chips fall wherever they may. All right? With that understanding, we move forward. All right? So, again, this is May the 13th. We're almost halfway into the fifth month, 2021. And if that don't tell you anything, it ought to tell you that time is not waiting on anybody. You don't really, I wouldn't recommend that you waste time being frustrated and mad, confused with anything anybody else, or trying to keep up with anybody's business but yours. That's really where we are right now, because life is too short and time waits on none of us. If we want something to be done for us, it's imperative that we work to do that for ourselves, with the help of the Almighty, of course. All right? May 13, 2021. Talk straight. Your host, Reverend Doctor. Guarding the mind from superfluity in life. Proverbs, the 20th chapter and the 27th verse reads like this. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 reads like this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? If you look at both of these texts very carefully, these biblical texts from the Old Testament and the New, I believe you would agree with me that we can derive from them the thought that our spirit, that motivating force within us, is something that we didn't give ourselves. And that it belongs to the Almighty, the Creator that made us. So why should we go looking anywhere else for any other driving force? Why is it necessary to get caught up in the superfluities, the senseless things, the material things, the man-made things, the simple highs of the world, to find your motivation and your drive? Mess your mind up. Mess your mind up. Now, I got a guy that's going to come on here posthumously, and he's going to tell you what drugs can do for you. He'll tell you what drugs can do for you. But just give me a second. Bear with me just for a second here. Many individuals who arguably of intellectuals, and over the years they've strived to make the case for legalizing drug use. Some of them often go back to the prohibition days of the 40s and the ending of it. We see what that has done with alcoholism, how it has destroyed lives, how it has led to people being run over and killed, drunk and driving. We see that. We see that. Now, it's not my intent to demonize anybody. There are a lot of good people who get caught up, but it's important for us to understand. And for these old folks, I love you, but I'm not concerned about you right now. I'm more concerned about sparing young lives and ensuring that they have the best chance of avoiding these and superfluities that old folk have kept on, continue to stumble in. Now, if you want to keep stumbling, go ahead. Stumble by yourself. And if you fall on over the cliff, if we can't catch you, then God bless you. Let's try to keep these babies from going that way, okay? These intellectuals, they opine that the legalization of marijuana and other substances would reduce the arrest rate for the use and possession of drugs. And it would stop the killings that are related to street drugs. That's what they say. Additionally, they purport that there are some medicinal uses for marijuana and even other drugs, such as heroin. Now, there are some noted national voices who are suggesting these things. I'll let you determine what their motives are, okay, and how it falls on your ears. But I'm going to offer a balanced position here. What is being said, then I'll share with you from the perspective of the host and Talk Straight, sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute. That's our primary focus. I'll show you what our position is. Hopefully we can talk together, and maybe we'll learn something tonight on Talk Straight. All right, let's get it. So So one of the noted voices that are out there is Dr. Carl Hart. In 2014, he was a professor of psychology and psychiatry at Columbia University. He appeared before the United States Congress in 2014, and he advocated for the decriminalization of drug use and distribution because he says that it was responsible for a significant number of African-American incarceration. That was his concern. I do share with him a concern for African-Americans in particular, and anybody, but African-Americans in particular, being incarcerated. I would like to see that stop. However, I would caution against encouraging African-Americans to get caught up in such a superfluity because somebody said it's legal for you to do it. All right, let's hold right there. Hold right there. That was one of the leading voices, Dr. Hart. And I've heard a number of people over the last 10 years or better refer to his research and refer to his testimony before Congress as the basis for a case to legalize particularly marijuana. You got to ask yourself, and I grew up in concrete jungles of America, Chicago, Illinois. I'm not sure as much you can tell me about the ghetto that I haven't known, lived, or at least heard about. All right? Especially within the last generation, last 30 years. All right? In fact, they've probably written books about some foolish things that I've done in my time. You understand what I'm saying? So I want you to understand, I know what it's like to be on the street. And I know the pressure that's out there. I'm not asleep to that. I'm here. I'm also aware of the fallacy and the missteps that you cause good young people with great potential to get caught up in by misleading them. All right? Oh, I come to teach tonight. Yeah, I came to teach tonight. That's what we hear about. Building Families and Communities Institutes takes this position. While it is true, states are juggling with this now, as I understand it. In fact, Tennessee, the legislative session is closed now, but this was one of the things that was brought up, as I understand. There are various medicinal or medical uses for marijuana. Yes, absolutely. Research is being done using it. And then some of the other street drugs that we see have also been used. Now, unless you're stricken with a serious medical condition that requires prescribed clinical doses of substances, there is no need for you to put it in your body and to have that to alter your normal mental faculties, cognitive faculties, physical faculty. Absolutely no need for it. Having said that, let me offer you some of the things that I think we should consider here. The term medical marijuana, or the phrase I should say aptly, refers to treating symptoms of illness and other conditions with the whole, I want to emphasize whole, unprocessed marijuana plant or its basic extracts. Not taking little parts of it out of it, but using the whole thing in control settings. That's what we talk about when we talk about medical marijuana use. The FDA has not recognized, last I checked, let me know if you think I'm wrong, then I'll go behind you and check, make sure I didn't get it wrong. But the FDA has not recognized or approved the marijuana plant as a medicine. What'd you say, doctor? There's no record that I know of where the FDA, and that's the federal agency that's responsible, Federal Drug Administration, Food and Drug Administration, excuse me, That's the agent responsible for approving these things for use, for human use and consumption. They have not identified the marijuana plant as a medicine, although that there is research around it. However, scientists of their studies of chemicals in marijuana called cannabinoids, they have led to FDA-approved medication in pill form. Dronabinol and Nabilon used to treat nausea and to boost the appetite are some of the most common applications. Cannabinoids are chemicals related to what's called delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinoid, or THC, marijuana on the streets, they would call it, and its main mind-altering ingredients. Marijuana is the main altering mind ingredients of THC. Okay? Currently, the two main cannabinoids from the marijuana plant that are of interest for medical treatment are the THC and the cannabinoids, or CBD. Now, I know you probably have seen right here in Nashville, there are shops popping up everywhere over the last few years because many states have legalized this cannabinoid use, or CBD. And it's over the counter now. There are shops that open up. In fact, states are making money off of this. It's been legalized to sell this form of it. Okay. All right. Let me go on. The body also produces its own cannabinoid chemicals. What'd you say, doctor? Said the body produces its own cannabinoid chemicals. What does that mean? That means you ain't got to go get none from someone or nowhere else, because under the right condition, the body produces it already. Everything else, consider, is in access. Scientists are conducting preclinical and even clinical trials with marijuana and its extracts to treat symptoms of illness and other conditions. In fact, I understand some of it is being used to help with things like dementia. Guess what? That may help. That slows down and retards the progression of the dying of those cells in the brain. They're working on it. They're under controlled condition. The FDA requires carefully conducted studies, I want to emphasize, or clinical trials in hundreds to thousands of human subjects in order for them to determine the benefits and the risk of possible medication. So it's not just something you do haphazardly because there is a fad or a hunger for it among people who are not in control situations. So far, researchers have not conducted enough large-scale clinical trials that show that the benefits of marijuana, of the marijuana plant, I should say, as opposed to its cannabinoid ingredients, outweigh its risk in patients. In other words, the risks are greater than the rewards. There's no evidence that using this is going to be better for you than not staying away from it. Let me put that in simple terms, okay? Talking straight. Here's the problem. And if you've been around long enough, you know what I'm talking about. In the United States of America, and especially in urban America, the drug culture here, especially in urban America, is well established. It's been going on for a little while. And particularly for the last 60 years or better, certain types of drugs have been made readily available to what used to be poor people in black neighborhoods. Hello, somebody. Now, black folks ain't the only ones struggling with them. But disproportionately, it has a tremendous effect on them when you compare them to other subgroups and their numbers. All right? It has become glorified. Yes, it has. Popularized. Right? But it is intricately representative of the social, economic, and the cultural demise of the Afro-American subculture. What you saying, Doctor? I'm saying too many of our babies are caught up with that foolishness and destroying chances and opportunities for them because they are distracted by these superfluities. I said again, they're distracted by these superfluities, unnecessary things. This one thing is you got to deal with it. It's something biological, and you got to adapt to it. No, this ain't something you got to deal with. You ain't got to have it. Excuse my English. Unfortunately, using drugs is associated with other explosive, demeaning, and culturally counterproductive behaviors that we've seen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Young folk thinking that you're going to eat by fighting over territory to sell this crap in our neighborhoods to mamas, to children, grandparents, destroying lives. You think that that's the way you make your living. Well, that's one of the things that we've been trying to do is to lovingly encourage our young folks, especially those in the culture, drug culture, selling, that you ain't got to do that. America has a greater promise that you can tap into, and you don't have to do that. I know that's what some folk out there glorify. And some of these old, musty, grown folk who should know better by now are encouraging this stuff, either passively or openly. I came to teach you tonight. Oh, yeah. We see it popularized through rap. Folk like Snoop Dogg, sipping gin and juice. Lunez, I got five on it. You understand what I'm saying? Make it sound, make it look pretty, make it sound, make it look hip and cool, like you really doing something. James Brown said you're talking loud and you ain't saying when you consider the historic socioeconomic demise and the condition that it has caused for so many, literally babies that have lost their parents because they've overdosed in front of them and left them on their own. Help us, Holy Ghost. That's that spirit that's in man that we need to find so we can find our way out of the abyss of this darkness. All right. The last thing that anybody that legitimately, sincerely give a darn about our young folk, their well-being and their health, their productivity, the last thing you need to do is to in any way encourage them to get caught up. Guess what? At the end of the day, the risk outweighs the reward. All right? The risk outweighs. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor, and we're just going to break it just like it is. But as I promised, I want you to listen to James Brown. Dude had a hit out. If anybody knows the dangers and the negative impact that drugs have on folks, this cat does right here. Listen to him for a second. We're going to play a song in entirety. But you listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Doctor. Our topic tonight, guarding the mind from superfluity in life.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Listen for a second. For a second.
Fellow Americans.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is James Brown. I want to talk to you about one of our most deadly killers in the country today. I had a dream the other night, and I'm in my living room. Just goes off to sleep, so I start dreaming. I dream I walk in a place, and so a real strange, weird object standing up talking to me, and I find out it's a hell. That's dead drugs going in your veins. He said, I came to this country without a passport. Ever since then, I've been hunted and sought. My little white brain can only be weak, soft and deadly, and bitter to taste. I'm a world of power, and all those sheep, lose me one, and you don't know. I can make a meal food before I forget his book. I can make a world-famous beauty to collect her looks. I can make a good man forsake his wife and a greedy man to prison for the rest of his life. I can make a man forsake his country and flag. Make a girl sell her body for $5
bag. Nice.
Some think my invention is joy in the thrill. Man, I put a gun in your hand.
Boom.
And miss me jump.
Oh, that's right.
In cellophane bags, I found my way to have a date to children's play. I finance in China, right in Japan. I'm respected in Turkey, and I'm legal in science.
Wow.
I take my addicts and make them steal a farm bed. Yeah. Then they take for a baby in the arm of a So be you Italian, Jewish, black or mad. I can make the most girl of men with just that flex. So now, my man, you'll do your best. Keep up your habits. I'm sure you're ready. Now the police are taking you. Come under my way. Do you expect to get about me? I would have been. Now, you must lie in that county jail. Well, I can't get to you. But I'm different on me. So, boy, with this song, riddle and call. And this thing's a man. You might go, no. Cut me a name. Now, buy me in feet. If you hit me up right now, let me go. All through your temple, you become resolved to your faith. Fear not, young man and woman, I'll be waiting for you. Don't be afraid. Don't run. I'm not changing. Sure, my name is Elwin. You'll be back for an age. No, you're hooked. Your foot is in the stirrup. And make hay, mouth of feet, and ride him well.
For the white horse of heroin
will ride you to hell.
This is your host, Reverend Dockley. Serious topic. What we can pull from that conversation is the fact that heroin in particular is an equal opportunity destroyer. Quite often, the lighter drugs are the gateway or the introduction into the heavy. If you love our young people, why don't you tell them the truth and let them make them free? We'll go straight to the phone lines, 657-383-0944. That is the number call right now. Let's get it. And we're talking from the topic, guarding the mind from superfluities in life. Good friend from St. Louis is on with us already, and I invite you to join tonight on Talk Straight. Welcome, sir. Question, come in.
How you doing? Well, how did you define fluidity?
Superfluidity? We define those as things that are inactive, unnecessary, but can be distracting. That's how I'm functionally defining superfluidity.
Well, simple. Put a limitation on what you, those things that can be distracting.
Okay.
Rather than a quarter pounder, go with one hamburger. Rather than an extra large fry, go with a regular fry.
Interesting you say that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you make a very good point, Pat Lord, but you know what the problem is, don't you? If you tell a toddler, 3, 4, 5-year-old, that they can eat whatever they want to as often as they want to, and you lay a balanced, healthy meal versus cake, ice cream, cookies, and candy in front of them, what do you think they're most likely to gravitate to based on their little taste bud? And what gives them the most immediate gratification? Which one you
well,
think
I didn't let my daughter have kids have candy.
And we restricted it to from hours. But I'm just saying, I'm trying to you make a good point that you should limit those things. But someone that has that knowledge base, has that information, that may work well for them. But for those who don't, the tendency is for them to gravitate to certain volitions, certain pleasures, certain external things that motivate their behavior. That's where the problem comes in. And this is the point that I'm making about in any way encouraging the legalization of substances that are not necessary, such as marijuana and other chemicals.
I think they should legalize street drugs, period. But on the other issue with the candies and so forth, you shouldn't have it in the house. My daughter, my last daughter, I remember one time we was at the store, she was standing there staring at some candy. Well, you stood in the checkout line. But she knew she couldn't have it, and I wouldn't allow anybody to give it to her. So she just grew out of it. And same thing with her son. So that's the way you should do it. If things you don't want your child to indulge in, don't make it accessible for them and forbid anyone else from giving it to her. Nobody, strangers, should be giving children candy anyway. That could be a Pied Piper scenario where they're trying to lead them off somewhere.
You know, I'm balancing two things I heard you say, St. Louis, and I know you've offered a pretty cogent argument for your position about legalizing drugs. We've had this conversation previously. But I'm hearing you say that on one end, you should legalize street drugs. I'll give you an opportunity to, explain where you are with that. But then I'm also hearing you say candy should be taken out of the house. Somebody's going to make an authoritative decision in both places. Help me balance those two thoughts that you just shared tonight.
Well, I said if you don't want your child to have those things, you should not make them available in the household.
Okay.
Well, you don't have a bottle of rum or a Seagram's VO sitting on the table, in the coffee table, out where they can get a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, they'll have it available. And street drugs, I think street drugs should be legalized because addicts are sick. And it's satisfying their sickness is what causes a lot of problems, crime, innocent people getting shot and killed.
Okay.
So you remove that avenue for profitability in the commission of crimes to supply a particular thing for sick people. Well, just like it is when you need cough syrup. You go to the drugstore and get it.
Isn't it the access of the use of it? It's not rather how much is sold to you or whoever's selling it, but it's what the effect of the use that causes people to behave in dangerous ways. Isn't that not a concern in your view?
No, it's not the addicts don't have to go out there and commit no crime. It's people that are supplying drugs for the demand by addiction that's causing crime.
Wait a minute.
In their effort to try to control.
So you mean when someone is fiending and they don't have any money because their drugs are causing them not to be able to maintain, hold a job, and maintain a normal lifestyle, so they go and do things, illegal things, like breaking in their houses or beating up their loved ones to take the financial resources to buy the drugs. You don't consider that to be a negative, unintended consequence?
I think those negativities can be easily conserved because people are going to beat up their wives and loved ones on issues other than drugs, and they're going to break into houses on issues other than drugs. But if the control of the street sales and distribution of illegal drugs, that causes a lot of problems in the community. You got prisons that's filled. That's
right.
The citizens have to pay for that on the long far side. And you got people that's getting injured and shot and murdered. So that causes a bunch of problems, too. So if an addict has a place, a dispensary where they can go get drugs just like they can methadone, and they can pay for it, receive a proper quantity so they don't overdose, proper quality so they don't get poisoned, they can sit there and be monitored and make sure they don't go into some sort of a physical action because of their biological stress. Then if they want to sign up for treatment, they can sign up for treatment there at the dispensary and try to solve the problem that they have. Then
so
also, the excess profits can be used for other areas.
Okay. Now, I know that there are a number of states, Illinois is one of them, California, Colorado, a couple of states that have legalized, California, I believe, legalized the use of marijuana in particular, right? And actually, you can open up dispensaries like a normal business, right? Get a business license, and there are certain conditions you have to do them under. But I'm reading reports, and this has only been within, I think, less than 10 years now. I'll say about the last five years or so that you've seen these things pop up. I'm reading reports such as things like children are getting hold to them, and they're bringing types of candies that have them laced in them, cookies and things to school. And at one, if I recall it correctly, one article I read where it affected several students in their school. Now, the children didn't know any better. The parents got arrested. But you see the extended consequence there, St. Louis? And moreover, do you not think it would be better use of our time, resources, and energy as a society to discourage the use of it altogether and to get rid of the addiction and the addictive patterns altogether? No?
Well, that discouragement haven't worked. And it's not going to work. You tell people not to do things, they go and do it anyway. What I'm saying is when they do it, it doesn't mean that whatever it is that they're seeking was provided to them by violent means, oftentimes deadly means. Parents that allow their children to get a hold of marijuana-laced candies, it's the same thing with them getting a hold of rat poison. You got to make sure that those things are out of the way so children don't get a hold of them. At some point in time, child get old enough to know the difference between no and yes, then that's when you're supposed to tell them and instruct them on how to behave when those things come into their eyesight.
So you're familiar with Ossie Davis, right? The actor and I guess activist, many would call. He wrote the preface to a book called We Charge Genocide. And really it was based on a big report about how drugs were largely introduced to African-American, predominantly African-American communities in the 60s and what have you, during the time of James Edgar Hoover, who was over the FBI. And ironically, the head of the CIA at that time was the elder Bush, George Bush. Okay, and make a long story short, they documented in this federal report, and they put this in the book, We Charge Genocide, how it has led to the physical and emotional and even social demise of an ethnic group, particularly African Americans. When prior to that, this was not a superfluity, a distraction that was common to the African American community. But when it was made readily available, it was a trap that was set for them. Here we are in 2021, and people still getting caught in the dragnet of this foolishness. I would argue, though,
well,
not so much.
Still,
go ahead.
Those people were sick then. Those people are sick now. The availability of drugs went back in the beginning of the early 1900s in the United States and probably before that. Nobody's tying people down, stuffing drugs in a person's mouth. People do these things on their own accord. During the time of alcohol prohibition, look at the violence that curtailed from the distribution and providing that. Even moonshine running was a problem. But when alcohol, the prohibition was lifted off of alcohol, where you could walk into a liquor store and get it, well, that violence stopped. That particular violence associated with sales and distribution. Same thing would occur with sales and distribution with illegal drugs. If you want examples, you can see around the world where countries have done so, and it has become a negligent problem as it was before it was legalized.
I would argue with you, St. Louis, that when we look at prohibition and its legal end, that all it did was to transfer the destructive elements in terms of the violence with Al Capone and all these gangsters fighting over control of selling of liquor and what have you. It transferred it to another means of destruction, and that was the other damages of alcoholism in families, right? And even drunk drivers who have caused many lives to be lost, innocent people, right? Simply because the government has suggested it's okay. You can get it. You can have as much as you want to. You just can't do it on Sunday, right? And you can't do it while you're driving. Well, if you tell them I can have it, why can't they do it when they get ready to do it? If they hooked on it, why can't they? That's
those are two different points, Ruben. Buying alcohol legally and consuming too much of it, buying alcohol legally and being under its influence while you're doing some other operation is not the same as you selling drugs or alcohol and the violence that goes on between associations that want to control that market. That's the problem. So if you do away with just that element of devastation, you've done a lot. Even when you have drug dealers doing what they're doing, you still got people that's going to consume and do too much, abuse their body. And then you still got the violence going on. So my point is to remove the violence.
I hear that. I hear your point. Well, I got Pastor Wallen on with me, and I know you know that he can speak to that from a personal standpoint, but I just want to highlight a point here. You said, you're right when we talk about those who sell it, distribute it. We talk about those who use it, right? Those who abuse and are abused, but those are different behaviors, but they all fall under the drug culture, the way of life of those people engaged in that culture. See,
that's a whole different point of view.
That's what I'm speaking to.
You got they used to have girly magazines that you try to ship in the mail, and the postmaster used to confiscate them. Now you can go online and get that free or pay for it. So
you can walk.
You still got a person that needs that or want it. It's not illegal anymore, but it wasn't no violence in the distribution and sale of girly magazines, but it is with drugs.
Let's stay on the point here. So we're talking about guarding the mind. Girly magazines don't directly alter your mind like these drugs.
Well, you can't go. You can't tell people what to think. In this country, you got free.
I don't want
to
do that.
You got free.
Hey, St. Louis, I don't want to tell people, I want to educate people. That's what we come tonight. I come to teach tonight. I want to educate, especially young people who want promise, young people who want to get out of the trap, young people who want to see themselves progress and not be distracted by all of these distractions in this society of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Young people who want to build something, want to build family, want to build community, who want to build and find their piece of the American pie. That's who I'm talking to, really.
Well, they can there's nothing stopping them from doing that. The thing you talk about, the fluidity of having access of, and I may mention that you got addicts that are sick people.
Yeah.
And you got a market. They are the market. Then you got those that's trying to satisfy and also control the market by any means, which includes violence, which kills people.
That.
That's the problem that I have.
I get that. I get that. Yes, sir. Let me bring Pastor Wallace. Pastor, how you doing, sir? How you doing? You there, for Pastor?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, all right. Thank you for joining us tonight here. We talked about guarding the mind from superfluities. Now, this conversation, you and I have had long, long, long hours of conversation about, because you have taken the time to speak to two aspects of what we're talking about tonight. Not only the distribution of substances, but how it directly affects the mind and the behavior of good people. Is that right, Pastor? They're good people,
aren't they? Yeah, it does. Yeah, it affects the mind. You know, and you're talking about, because the people are not automatically captured until they start, you know, to be revealed. And they don't learn that until the time comes. So it's not like, you know, a person tries something and they say, I want to get captured. I want to be in bondage. I want to end up being a drug dealer. It didn't happen like that with me. So I'm talking about a personal thing. I'm talking about me, and that's my experience. But I end up getting captured because it's a trap. That's what a trap is. A trap is something that you're not supposed to see. You don't know it's coming. And, you know, I respect it, but at least I do know what it is. And if you've never been in one, you can't say it's not a trap. You can talk it, but you don't really know. You know what I mean? I'm experiencing it. I know what I'm talking about. Now, had I not experienced it, I couldn't say it's a trap. But I can, man, and it's not a printed sight. You know, and I don't just like talking about it. I'm out here on the street right now as we speak. You know, because the word does say, you know, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. So I won't be able to have no power if I'm keeping it to myself, if I don't have no concern. It's not like I'm trying to force it on nobody, but still, if I don't let the light shine, that means that I'm contributing to withholding good information. And yes, Pastor Johnson, we talked about it a lot, and we put action, you know, to it. And you never know, man. It's just somebody's being prepared right now as we speak. They may not come out when we want them to come out, but at least they know that there is hope. And that's what it's all about with you, man.
That is correct. Let me share something with you, gentlemen. Your second book, Flip Side, I told you about that, how my son read one part of, I can't remember the chapter, but it was where you were talking about the referee, Pastor Waller. And the role of the referee. If you don't mind, just for a second, reiterate that, because what he said to me was that is key right there with getting young people to understand certain things about the power they have over their choices, to use or not to use, to abuse or not abuse, or be abused. We kind of define that a little bit. Do you remember what chapter I'm speaking to? And what you were talking about.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you're talking about the referee and the job and the role of a referee. He only is supposed to present to the players, you know, before the game starts. You know, they call the captain and the co-captain on both teams. And as they approach the referee would explain to them his role. Now, there are some other particular roles that the referee is not supposed to even talk to them about. That's for the coach to be able to remind the players about certain things. You see what I'm saying? That meant. And as soon as the referee explained about five situations, where the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth one is not the referee's part, if the coach should have told you that. If the coach didn't remind you about the trap, then the referee's not going to remind you of it. It's not the referee's job. The referee's job is to tell you when the ball go out of bounds, I'm going to let you know who the ball belongs to. You know what I mean? When you hit a shot, when you foul somebody, that's the referee's part. Not to tell you, here come a trap. No, that's not the job of the referee, man. You know? And that's why, you know, my coach, he taught us about the trap, man. And I still ended up after, you know, that's good that you brought it up, though, Pastor Doc. I don't want to take the float for too long, but that's a good point,
man.
No.
Because you know what I'm thinking about now. I'm thinking about Dr. Hart, Carl Hart. He's a professor, college professor of psychology and psychiatry. And he made the point before Congress, I mentioned this, in 14, that, you know, the problem is too many African-Americans are getting incarcerated because of drugs. Here's a good example. Here's the analogy that you're using about the referee, the police, law enforcement. It is not their job to tell you not to do it. Their job is to respond to your behavior after you've done it. And there are laws that say you ought not do it, right? But when they find you doing it, they're going to blow the whistle on you. Does that make sense, St. Louis? I mean, and that's what
that's it.
It seems to me that's what we need to be talking to the young cats about. Look, brother, whether you like it or not, you live in a society that has laws, rules, and regulations. When you step out of bounds and you hear the whistle, ain't no need of you fighting. Because somebody
right.
should have called
Referee don't call
before
you
got on the court. I'm sorry. Go ahead, pass now. Get St. Louis an opportunity.
Yeah, the referee going to call that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, St. Louis. Did you want to comment to that?
Well, disregardless, the person, it is not the person that's using the drugs. It's the person that's supplying the drugs. That's the market. Mm. If you got a drug house on one side of the street, you got a drug house complete opposite of the other on the other side of the street.
Okay.
If you go to the wrong house, if you are going up the steps to the drug house on the left side of the street and the drug dealer on the other drug house come out and whistle and say, come over here, and you do it, well, now you're going to have a war between those two drug dealers.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
But if the drugs were legal, that addict could have went to a dispensary and wouldn't have no problem with no salesperson trying to lure them one way or the other, thus by causing problems.
Well, now, so what do we do with the young cat that thinks the way he makes his money is to get into this price war, this turf war, this drug war with other folks just like him, right? So what happens?
How's he gonna get in making money doing what? The drug's legal. How can you make money with selling Cutty Short? Oh, Jack Daniels.
So what I'm saying, Big Brother, is we shouldn't make it legal. But what we should do is encourage those young folk who want to sell it that you can do something else with your time, and it will be less destructive to people, and it won't cause folks to become.
Well, they can open up a dispensary. It doesn't have to be a government. It could be a private owned dispensary, just like you open up a Amazon delivery service. You know, it will allow for. You know, you got methadone clinics that's not ran
right.
by the government. They're privately owned with control.
You're absolutely right. And so here's the problem, St. Louis. You know, America is nothing but a big socioeconomic experiment. And right now, a few states are experimenting with the legalization of controlled substances like marijuana. And they're finding the hard way just why it's not a good idea. That's my humble opinion. That's my viewpoint. They're finding out.
Well, I haven't seen no state yet turn down the legalization of marijuana because it's generating extra revenue for them.
And I think that's a tragedy, personally, because when you look at the human effect and how it is negatively affecting lives, some people don't care. I do. And the last thing I want to see is a young male or young female with promise distracted from their gift and their ability to produce in this society we call the United States of America. That's the last thing I want to see.
Well, what would you rather have? You're going to have the drug addict. Would you want to also have the violence of innocent people getting killed, neighborhoods getting bust because you got drug dealers selling out of their house?
Yeah,
if you got
yeah.
a legal place where they can go get it, then that eliminates the latter. Now
okay.
you deal with the addict however you want to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the argument here is between supply, eliminating supply and the demand for it. That's what I'm hearing from you.
No,
and
it's not. Let me hang on. You're getting close.
Okay.
The argument that I'm running is to eliminate. The supply, the illegal supply on the streets. Now, if you want to deal with a person and their appetite, the same way they got Weight Watchers that deal with people that consume too much and they weigh too much, The same way that you got people who have hypertension, the doctors tell them that you got to change your diet, you got to cut some things out. That's a whole different thing. But nobody is going to be shooting up the whole block, running into businesses, shooting up people in order to supply them with Weight Watchers. They can go subscribe to it and receive it.
So here's the thing, and this is real talk right here. It's real talk. And that's one of the things I appreciate about my brother here, Pastor Waller, and that is he was in that circle. And he realized, because he did both of them. Not only did he use his own stuff, but he sold it and saw how it destroyed, literally, and I don't want to speak well, he's right here, destroyed lives.
Well,
let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something about that real quick. I don't care if Pastor Wallace used drugs. You use all the drugs you want.
But when you go to
start selling it on the streets and getting caught up in the violence of selling it and supplying, that's when I have a problem. Now, if you got an addiction for drugs or whatever, then you need to go get some help.
Well, listen to this. The issue is not so much how many people killing, it's why they kill it. See? What's the motivating factor? What is the superfluity? What is the distraction that is causing them to do that, right? And that's
the motivating factor is because they want to control the market.
Hold on.
Like Al Papo down there in Mexico.
Whenever you legalize something, you give permission and consent to it, okay? And the last thing we need to give permission and consent to is to anything that either directly destroys or indirectly affects the destruction of human lives.
You got permission to drive a car, don't you? You have more people killed in automobile accidents than...
You got to have a license. You have to have a license. In order to get a license, you're required legally to go to a course that says you're trained to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of the road to prevent you from killing somebody. That don't stop people. However,
you don't have to have a license to drive farm implementation equipment on the highway.
No, I'm talking about a car, sir, which is the common usage of transportation, a car or truck or RV or something of that nature. That's
the fly plane. A 16-year-old don't have a license. A 16-year-old, 14-year-old can fly a plane. They don't need no license.
They don't need
to get a license until they get to a certain age.
What you mean? They don't have to be with nobody.
The pilot, apparently. They don't have to be under instruction.
That's the rule. Those are the rules. And that's the point I'm trying to tell you. You can't just put
You can get out there on the boat. You can get out on the river in a boat.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to have a license to operate a boat on the river.
But you have
boat accidents because people are doing something irresponsible or not being safe.
Watch this, St. Louis. Even on the boat, on the plane, on the train, you must have someone who is licensed legally now. Everybody on the boat, you don't. What do you mean? Since when?
Any kid can get out there on a lake with a boat. You ain't got to have no license.
You can't. So you're saying the game warden won't stop you and ask you for your...
Game warden don't have no authority on no rivers.
What?
No, sir. That's another thing. People need to know the law. If the law said that it's not against the law, when they take the criminal aspect, criminalization out of street drugs, then people know not to go to somebody's house, but go to that dispensary.
I get that.
Just like they have Alcohol Anonymous. What is Alcohol Anonymous for?
Tell us.
Alcohol Anonymous is for a group of people to sit in a group setting and discuss their problems with alcohol with other people that have the same problem.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with making alcohol illegal. Alcohol is legal. But people are still overusing.
Right. Let's stay focused on the root of our conversation here. And we're talking about causation here now. And what I'm saying to you, you're born without alcohol other than what's naturally produced in your body. So you don't ever need this. You're born without THC or CBD. other than what is naturally produced in your body or may be represented. You don't need it. Now, what medical science is doing now is discovering how they can use it, just like other medication or pills and things of that nature, to help people who have severe medical issues. I use an example of how it's being used for people who are suffering with dementia, right? Because they know that one of the effects of the THC is that it slows down and retards cell growth. Right, and it slows down the destruction of these cells that lead to the memory loss and so forth in with people with dementia. Now, why would you take a normal individual, young person, who got a healthy brain, mental faculties, put that in them so it can destroy, slow down their normal faculties? Why would you do that?
Well,
why would you even leave something like that?
Well, let me tell you why. In Jamaica, kids smoke ganja. In Ghana, West Africa, kids under the age of 18 drink palm wine.
I understand.
In other countries, it's going on. They've been doing it before newspaper.
Yes, sir. But I'm talking about in the United States of America, specifically urban America. Why would I?
All right, now, then America needs to change those laws that they have. That's criminalizing people.
So, okay, I hear what you're saying, big brother. And guess what? I'm going to respect that that's your position. And I'm going to reiterate the fact that, and that's really what we talk about, guarding the mind from anything.
Well, you can only guard your mind. You can't guard nobody else's mind. People are going to do what they got free will.
You know what I'm here for? You know what I'm here for? I can't speak for nobody else. But I'm here to be an example. And to offer information to others as to how they can not only improve.
And supposedly say they don't want it, Ruben.
Let me finish. And sustain themselves.
All right.
And I realize that everybody don't want it as well. I recognize that. But guess what else I know? I know there's some people crying for it. They're literally dying.
Well, then those are the ones that's your market. Right there.
That's
the same way it is when you go buy the lottery ticket. Look on the back of the lottery ticket. What does it talk about? It talks about the rules and regulations of the game. It also tells you if you're having problems where you become addicted to gambling, call this number.
True. And that's why we're on tonight, Daniel. That's why we're on tonight. In fact, let me put something out there. Somebody else is watching us on Facebook right now. 657-383-0944. Call me. Let me hear something. Don't be afraid. This is Talk Straight. And all I ask you to do is lay your point out there. You don't necessarily have to agree with me. I'm going to say put it out like it is.
Yeah.
What do you say, Pastor Wallace?
Hey, yeah, okay, I'm right here. I'm a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, out here listening to us talk. And he just wanted to make sure, you know, I talk about a lot of things, and I shared with him, you know, I always bring it up about what the enemy does and how I used to dance with the devil and things like that and how the tricks of the enemy is what he said, the trick of Satan. He said this word right here. He said, what about speaking on the tricks of Satan? In other words, he's let it be known that Satan got to do with a lot of the things that's going on. So my brother, telling me that you believe Satan is real? That's what you're saying? You know, because we're out on the street right now. I mean, this is a real brother out here.
Sure. How you gentlemen doing?
Good, sir.
My name is Calvin Flower. I'm a friend of Rick. I was just wondering that, I mean, are we not understanding that Satan is constantly at work, whether it be on the logistic part of it or the illegal part of it or the inside the church or outside, well, I'm going to say inside the building or outside the building? I mean, when do we get the solution to stay on point about all his tricks and trades of the game? Because if I'm mistaken, he the same one told Christ that he'll give him everything.
Yeah.
We got to understand each other. I'm trying to get the power and the understanding and the strength that Christ had when Satan offered him the world.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I can get the proper tools to keep me striving consistently, to keep reminding myself how to shun him when he come and try to make us fall weak, as he been doing throughout the test of time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get those two.
And can I elaborate right now and let you come right back in if you don't mind? I'm going to utilize the scripture because he brought that up. You know, it talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. It says, let Satan get the advantage of us, but we're not ignorant of his devices. So that's when it's come right on back in and talk, brother.
It's
but that's mentioning
like,
Satan right there.
It's more like... It's more like...
Hold on, let me talk.
It's more like when light is around, dark can't hang.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I like that. Very well.
If any kind of light around, the dogs don't have a chance when light is around.
Okay.
Well, all right, let me respond to those.
Give me a second.
Let me respond to those. Scientifically, darkness is natural. Light is not. As I said, scientifically, darkness is natural. Light is not. Another point. When you talk about the devil and so,
I didn't hear you.
I said scientifically, light.
Scientifically,
yes.
Okay.
Darkness is natural.
Uh-huh.
We talking about parables.
When your battery in your car is charged, it's in an unnatural state. When it's discharged, it's natural. Light is not natural. Darkness is.
Right.
Another point.
Right. Right.
Another point.
Okay.
To talk about the devil, and the devil made me do it, is hearsay. It's not argument.
No.
Sir, listen. Would you let me finish saying what I got to say?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
1 second, my friend. Let him finish, and then we'll have a response.
Go ahead.
As I said before, when you're talking about religious characters, all that is hearsay is not arguable. A court of law.
Right.
Go ahead, Sandoz. Finish your point.
That's it.
I guess my question is, and my hunger is, I want the tools to be consistently reminded to identify the bull jive. Where they come from? Out in South Coast. I mean, the South Coast, the East Coast. I want to know. I want to be equipped.
Let me help you out right quick. I don't care what you want to call it. If you go outside and it's 5 below 0 degrees and you ain't got no clothes on, your butt going to get cold. You hear what I'm saying? Your butt is going to freeze. You stay out there long enough, you start to get some frostbite. Now, you can call that the word of God or you can call that science. Either way, your little thing, your thing don't fall off. You stay out there too long. You better get in there and get some clothes on. And this is what I'm trying to get folks to understand. You can put whatever you want on it. We need to stop allowing our young people to get caught up in this crap and destroying their lives. I don't care if you don't have to believe in the Bible or God or nothing, but you better believe when people die, they're gone. They ain't never going to get to come back. That's what we need to talk about. And let's keep it 100.
I truly believe. I'm a product of my environment also. I have been. I stay in and out of my community a lot. I'm just saying the tools you just got, I want to learn how to use those every day. Those are tools you've been equipped with for a long time. You didn't get that size. You didn't get that spiritual. You didn't get that bowl overnight. I just want to know how to get some of that so I can use it on a consistent daily basis.
You know where there's a fight out here. There's a real fight in the real world.
You're definitely right. I'm just saying that, you know, it took me a minute to be able to collaborate or talk with pastors or whether it be on conference calls, whether it be in all kind of meetings. I was just listening and you brothers were discussing about the drugs and the being illegal or not illegal. I want to try to come up with a conclusion.
Let me ask you a question, sir. Have you ever used drugs? Yeah, you use drugs?
Have I used? Yeah, I have.
It's just, all right, now let me ask you a question. If you had a place to go get drugs, like you do when you go to a liquor store and buy beer and cut it short, without the probability of being arrested,
right?
Okay, would that not be better for you than having to go to a dealer who's fighting with other dealers and killing people innocently? Would it not be better for you to go to the place where you can go, like a liquor store, or rather stay with the dealer where they fighting and killing and shooting up the neighborhood?
You know. To be real with you, to answer the question like directly, it would be good to do things the right way, right? So, but all I'm saying is, I want to be able to use what you using to stay clean and to stay focused. That's what I wanted when I was younger, and when I was in my mix. It just didn't happen with Pastor Rick. I was around when Pastor Rick was in his darkness, came out of his darkness.
Yeah.
I was in darkness. There were other brothers that was teaching scripture, walking scripture, living scripture. I don't know if I'm in the wrong conversation. I just want to know how to
you're talking about two different things, what you're doing.
My argument is
the elite. Wait a minute, let me explain to you.
Oh, the illegal
part. My argument is the legalization of what's illegal now. Because
an addict
is going to always be the addict until they change.
That's
my argument. Is how not to get in that dark position. Well, that's going to take you seeking from somebody to help you do that.
No disrespect. I know Christ. God is a slick individual to me. He got me right here with y'all, sucking up this, getting more stronger for tomorrow.
Right there, bro.
I'm on top of that. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Hey, brother, don't go nowhere. I appreciate what you're saying. Hello, Reverend Doctor Dr. Yes. Hello,
Doctor.
I got a caller on the line who's joined us. That's what I was trying to do. It's just stay with us, brother. Stay with us. See, you're making a good point. I hear where you're coming. You stay right there. Don't go nowhere. Tell them to stay right there.
Okay.
Let them know how we do this, Pastor. And let me bring in caller 2320, who's been listening to the conversation and has a position. Go ahead, caller. That's 404-2320. Go ahead, caller.
Well, thank you, Dr. Reverend Doctor.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I am a family physician, and I also take care of opiate addiction.
Okay.
Please forgive me for not calling in at 7.
That's okay.
It's been a very challenging 2 weeks. But what I would like to just say to the caller that I just heard some of your comments, there is help.
Right.
There's help, and I'm happy to say that I went to medical school. I'm an MD family physician, but I also took that course and passed it to take care of opiate addiction.
Right.
Wow.
And I'm happy to say that I've had patients that first time coming to me maybe over a year and a half, and their urine drug screen may have, they tell me, and then we get urine drug screens, but they're maybe on cocaine or fentanyl, a meth. And I'm happy to say that all of my patients, their urine drug screen is normal, except for the medication I put them on. You can either give them Suboxone Subutex, and then I take care of their other family medicine problems. And they are working. They're working.
Amen okay. on that.
They're working, okay. and they have families. Some are mothers. Some are fathers. And not only, most of the patients in Tennessee have a Tennessee medical license, also have a Florida medical license, but I want to commend the last administration and the present administration. Physicians, we try not to get in politics, but we had to on some issues. But anyway, let's talk about this. So we're able to take care of patients in any state.
Okay.
Yeah, well, okay. we do telemedicine patients, and right now my biggest challenge are my patients in Michigan, but I just started there. You know, start maybe a month or two, and it takes a while. But I just want to let your caller know that there's help, and I'm willing
okay.
to help you. Okay, then?
Yes, ma'am.
One thing, and I'm going to say this, one thing, Florida, because Florida physicians, I was Florida licensed to, some things we had to discuss, because at the end, when we graduate medical school, we take an oath. We take an oath to try, I can't remember all the detail, but basically to help people stay healthy, to prevent problems, trying to help people in the country, okay?
Right.
And the thing is that this issue about this, you know, and there are illegal drugs out of fentanyl coming across the border, okay? So, and not only that, you know, COVID. So is that a point? There's a physician shortage. So my point is some things we had to get involved with because politics got involved in medicine. And unfortunately, politics got involved in medicine. And there are 100 senators and then 400 some people over in the House. So maybe out of 500 some, then there may be about 10 MDs there. Like I know
okay.
Bill Cassidy, I know Margaret. So my point is, I'm not a pastor. I didn't go to school to do that. But physicians
right.
at a point, we are so tired of politics in medicine.
Okay.
So that's all I'm going to say about that. But that is help. I'm here to help you. Okay.
That's good.
Doctor, could I ask you a question?
Yeah, 1 second.
Sure.
You going to ask Dr. Jack? Go ahead. I'm coming to you.
I'm going for doctor. I know I'm lying. Doctor, you deal with people that's on opioids.
Yes.
All right, let me ask you a question. Codeine. Codeine is a drug you can buy in the drugstore. It's either out front or it's behind the counter. And you can use codeine with acetophenine, which basically makes it a stronger pain reliever. ASA is a legal drug, too. Nobody is out on the street shooting up houses, assassinating people, and innocent people getting shot on the streets because people are trying to illegally sell codeine or acetophenine. That medicine is legal for a person to go get. Now, if a person's going to abuse it, that's where they're going to need your help.
Keyword,
hold on one second.
You know what? That was a key word. No, go ahead. You go ahead, bro. You straight. Go ahead.
Hold on.
No, that's it. If a person abuses it to the point where it's detrimental to their body,
right.
then
okay.
that is where they seek out the service that you provide.
Listen to her response, St. Louis, please, if you will. Listen to her response. She had a response for you. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, my question is the only – okay, I want to know where codeine in the form – or drugstore, the stores you can buy. The only thing I'm aware of, some cough medicines, mm-hmm. like Robitussin, antitussin, may have
right.
codeine. Because codeine can help you stop a cough. But if you read those directions, you have the directions to take maybe every 6 hours, every 4 or 6 hours, but consult a physician. Okay? Okay? So, but what happens with this particular situation, what happens is people just continue taking it. Because what happens?
Well, that's not.
Well,
that's
no,
not
I'm
the question
I'm
pointing.
It's
how
I'm
they go about getting
what,
it.
What's your point? What's your
hold
point,
on,
huh?
My point is this: is that they can go get it legally. I can go up here to Walgreens and buy codeine, Romatussin. If I illegally use it, it's going to bother me. But I can't go to a drug dealer or on the street corner and buy it. It makes no sense when I can go to Walgreens and buy it. Without all that problem and drama, that's
wait,
what
wait,
we're saying.
So,
it's illegal. It's a legal drug. There's legal classifications of drugs, and there's a classification of illegal drugs. Even though marijuana is legal in some states, it's still illegal at the federal level.
So
if you remove, listen, I gotta go. You guys don't want nobody else to talk.
St. Louis, I want you to be open to. To ideas other than your own, if you don't mind, because you're right. Just because it's not illegal doesn't mean it's practical or rational. Just like
I am open. I said you can. People can come to you for your help as much as they want. But
yeah, hold on,
if you let me ask you a question real quick. I'm gonna give you one non-clean example. She offer help and you offer help. If everybody's going to her, hang on. If everybody's going to her for help, is she going to start shooting at you because people are coming to
no,
you?
You're missing the whole point, though, St. Louis.
No, I think you're missing the point.
And here's the point. Here's the only point, and that is this simple. Just be, Hold on one second, please. I'm gonna bring everybody in. For the sake of our listening audience, we're talking about superfluities, right, that affect people's lives. The only point is you can buy bleach out of Kroger or out of Walmart. What sense would it make to turn a bottle of bleach up and drink it just because you can? That's silly as all get out. Yes, you can go get things across the counter. What we're trying to say is it's foolish. To use them just because you can. That's a child's mentality. What we're trying to do is to help people maturely behave in a way that is not counterproductive or destructive to their lives or anybody else. We know that there's
right.
a lot about
can I ask a question?
All
can I ask a question?
And other things. One second, my brother. One second. I'm going to bring you in.
Okay.
If
okay.
you will, just stay
okay.
right there with me. Because it's not
okay.
just about what one person said and the other. It's about our listening audience. And I'm the facilitator of the conversation, so I'm going to guide it, all right? And I want our listeners to take away from here that we're not – yes, you can do whatever you want to when you grow, but what I'm telling you is there's a reason why so many of us are getting caught up in these traps and demise. Grown folks who know better should be treated properly and conduct themselves in a way that sustains their lives. That's healthy for them.
Amen.
That's what this show is all about. That's what this show is all about. Now, you can do whatever you want to. You're right. And you're going to hear Reuben Dockery say all the time. Now, you don't have to take it. An individual has every right to hang the phone up and go somewhere else. But when you don't talk straight, you're going to get it straight from me, straight from the good-looking guy's mouth. That's what time it is. We're going to keep it 100 tonight. I came to teach tonight.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Now, let
okay.
me go to this call over there. Go ahead, brother. What were you trying to say, my brother?
Okay, I guess on a wider scale, we all right in a sense, right? Let's
let's be open minded, right? But
okay,
I guess,
yes, sir.
In my mind, somewhere in my brain, on the right or the left side, I want to help the dealer,
okay,
the user,
okay,
and the abuser,
ah,
and the supplier. You see, I'm just not in this for the addict. I'm not in this for the person who's getting slightly and slowly abusive with the drug or whatever they may be taking. I want to help the addict himself and the dealer.
Okay.
Also, so I go back to what I'm saying about them, the conniving ways of Satan. I think in my mind somewhere, on one of my sides, that we got to be able to help the user, the abuser, the seller, the supplier. How do we help them understand that Satan got something to do with all this?
I got you.
If I want to help the person that's addicted to it, right? I should be able to want to go on the hearts and the cuts and the crevices of the ghetto, urban area,
sure,
and not be afraid to face them, because at once upon a time we were stuck with a whole mentality of this is the only way we get out to make it. But I can say that Satan is a liar.
Okay.
Dig what I'm saying? So it's like my mind think weird, but I just know that Satan is a cold, slick individual,
okay,
man.
Okay.
Like before we got a little order a few seconds ago, he was in the midst of all this. He wants us to be on different pages.
You know what? Let me tell you something. Satan can come anytime to get ready. As long as I'm here, he better sit down when I tell him to sit down.
You know what, y'all finna go. That's what I want to hear.
Let me tell you something. Before they learned the hard way.
I learned the hard way, right? I had to go do time, right? I had to watch my son get a piece of my darkness because I wasn't trying to help him understand certain ways and, he was going. You
right.
dig what I'm saying?
Right.
I had to watch other people.
I got you.
Fail.
I got you.
It's man.
I get what
go
you're
ahead,
saying.
Though.
But listen to me for a second. Listen to me. We've been doing this for almost going on 5 years now. And what I've learned from this experience is that there are a lot of people, my brother, bringing a lot of experiences with them. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And what I do is facilitate the free flow of reality in their situation. Because some people want to change. Some people want to be free. See,
and I happen to know
that the only way you're going to do that is to get it out. What the enemy wants to do is to keep you hiding and shut up and your mouth closed so you can't put them on blast. We put them on blast tonight. See, here's the bottom line. There are some people in our neighborhood.
Amen to all y'all, man.
Listen to me, big brother. Listen to me. There are some people in our communities, in our neighborhoods, on the airwaves. They secretly want to see people screwed up because it makes them feel good. They give them joy out of it. Now, what we need to do is to tell the devil, get thee behind me, whoever it is. You may not want to call the devil. Anybody that try to encourage you to do something that is counterproductive or destructive to you by either directly encouraging or indirectly influencing, you should ask yourself, man, what you trying to do to me? Come on back here. Let me go and slap you in the mouth right there. That's how you deal with the devil.
Well,
put him in check.
Hello,
it's about time for you. It's about time for you to close, and I'm going to explain this one more thing. My point is that illegal drugs should be legalized. Now, let me say this. It's a problem when you can't listen to all the instructions. That's why coming with papers get halfway where they're supposed to go, then they lost. There's a man by the name, he was an African-American out of North Carolina by the name of Frank Matthews. He finally disappeared in 1973. He was the biggest drug supplier of heroin and cocaine throughout the eastern United States. And he was warned against the cartel, the mafia. All kind of things, from explosions, gun shootings up, so on, people getting killed, crossfire, all that stuff. They was doing it because of the they wanted to control the illegal supply and distribution of those drugs. Now, if those drugs was legal, those cartels and Frank Matthews would be out of business.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
We understand. We understand. We get that. All right.
They'd be out of business. You still got drug addicts. But if a drug addict can go to a legal dispenser where they can get that drug that they need in a legal quantity, safe quantity, where they're not poisoning themselves. They're not getting rat poison, not getting bacon soda. They can get it in a quantity that won't cause them to overdose. While they don't shout up or however, they can sit there and be monitored. So if they fall into some sort of disarray, they can be treated. And another thing, they can also sign up for treatment.
Gotcha. All right, St. Louis, let me go to 12.
Excuse me, may I make a comment with that, please?
Yes, doctor, what I want to hear from. Go ahead, dear. I'm sorry, Pastor. I meant to interrupt you.
Okay. Everyone can have their viewpoint. At the clinic in Michigan, I actually do have a setup where the patients, and I hate to really say this, but most of them on methadone, which is, I give the order to the nurse gives it to the patient, and we monitor the patient, so we check vitals and their urine. My goal is to get them off of the methadone, a low dose, because methadone can stop you breathing and cause chest pain, your heart attack, okay? So going to what the last caller just said, I'm really sorry to really tell you this, but these are Schedule II drugs, which, just listen to me now, okay? Cocaine and heroin, those drugs can cause so many problems to a patient, not just what I just mentioned. So let's create the scenario. If someone can just walk into, say, Adam's drugstore and just get cocaine, who is going to be there to mob this person like you suggested, okay?
Nobody,
okay? So this is why in some areas like what I have, what I'm doing in Detroit area, is a methadone, it's called a Medicaid Assistant Therapy Methadone Clinic. And I have a patient, my private practice on methadone too in Little Rock, Arkansas. But he's monitored. And so my point is, sir, physicians have to think about everything.
Easy.
With the patient. And we are not going to, at Food and Drug Administration, we are not going to legalize drugs like that. Now, let's get talk about marijuana. What the states did for political reasons to get votes, now, they legalized recreational marijuana. But what people don't understand, most of that has to do with the legal ramifications if you get caught with marijuana, okay? As far as taking marijuana for medical reasons, there are only two disease processes I can think of that medical marijuana has been indicated for, and that's a rare form of seizure in children and a rare form of Parkinson's disease.
Okay.
There's only 1% of physicians in New York who do that, But those are normally urologists, doctors who have gone to do special training to write marijuana. I don't know how to write marijuana medicinally. We aren't taught that. But what the state did, and I want to commend Tennessee, okay? Because I follow a lot of things, the Tennessee lawmakers, okay? And some people may not agree with me. Marijuana, what it does, the THC, it causes delusions, hallucinations. Yeah, it increases your appetite. So increased appetite, people get overweight. But delusional hallucinations, that is very serious if you're driving, okay? So in my program, in my practice, you know, I've been working with patients like a year or two. There, some were with marijuana. But the thing that gets physicians with marijuana, I mean, they've gotten off my patients. But the thing, if you go try to get a job and you have marijuana in your urine, you probably not going to get that job. If they do one random, you're going to lose your job.
Absolutely.
That's just a fact. And marijuana, it acts different in your body than smoking cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's a whole different thing, process. And the other thing is vaping is worse than smoking cigarettes. So I'd rather, I have patients that's on treatment that with Suboxone or Subject, whatever, their urine is free except no marijuana. They smoke cigarettes. Everybody anxious. So I'd rather them do that than on these cocaine, heroin, meth, fentanyl. Fentanyl will kill you. A 17-year-old here in Atlanta, off the street, she thought she was buying Percocet for pain. It was fentanyl. She died. But my point is, that, you know, if you're in pain, go to a physician. Now, some physicians, yeah, you know, they were given, you know, Lortab, hydrocodone, Percocet. But now, you know, it was always like every 4 or 6 hours as needed. But what happened, these medications, yeah, they relieve your pain because they create a euphoria. You're real energized. You have a lot of energy. So what happened, patients start continuing taking it longer than prescribed, indicated that they had a lot of energy euphoria, and then they get addicted to it. So that's just what I have to just say. And that's how many doctors feel about that.
Okay. Well, thank you for that from a medical perspective. We appreciate that. Twelve, what were you going to say, darling? And then my brother, Pastor Wallace, was going to say.
Yeah, I almost forgot. I don't have much to say because I'm not a doctor. Only time I play like someone is with my children. They grown now, so I'm playing. My point is, I want to hear what she was talking about, even though I don't know too much about drugs nor medicines because I don't like neither one of them. But sometimes we got to do what we got to do at the doctor's prescription.
Sure.
And a lot of times I feel like this, they put you on certain things. Now, nowadays, at some doctors, not you, ma'am, miss, excuse me.
Go ahead.
Some of them put you on certain prescription drugs, and then you look up at you done took them for so long, well, hell, it's going to kill you. It's going to cause this. You got 30 side effects. I'm not questioning your knowledge. I'm just saying how I feel as an individual about a lot of pills you get on. To me, I thank God for the new moderate medications, but I'm also grateful for the old remedies.
Yeah, okay.
People call me old school. I am old school. I'm not going to lie to you. I ain't no old lady in no shoe, but I'm old school.
Okay, we get it.
I want to hear what she was talking about, and I appreciate her for being who she is because they have it hard. Doctors fight, and nurses, and home health caregivers, everybody. I thank you all, you guys, for that.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate her bringing a professional. 12, I agree with you. We appreciate her bringing a professional perspective to this. It's not something that's snatched out the air. It's something that is practiced and something that has some documentation. We appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Pastor Waller. What were you going to say?
Hey, all right, here you go. Now, I'm finna get it going.
Go ahead, Pastor Waller.
I want to get hats off to all you guys. Like,
thank you,
like this is really helping me for tomorrow.
Okay.
I can't speak about next week, but getting equipped for tomorrow is good, man. And you know, and hats off to all the studies, time, the effort. You know, for me personally, this helps. And also,
good.
When I see brothers like Pastor Waller come back to the places and the spot. We right in the same spot that he used to, you know, do his 1-2 at, you know, and he out here fighting to the same way we dealt when we were out. Hold on, excuse me.
You're fading away from me, brother. He's fading away, Pastor Waller. He what now?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, he just trying to say about how I dropped the phone.
Okay.
What I was saying was the same, like the same, like we're on the same exact corner. The same exact corner that I saw all the darkness. You know what I mean? And I think this is a good solution also to live in a different life.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
like, he's out here leading by example. He's out here bringing you guys to us, well, to me, and we building off each other. Like people way across the coast. And I appreciate y'all, man. What's the brother's name out of St. Louis? What's his name? Mr. St.
Okay.
Louis, whoever you are, man. Whoever you are, man. Stay strong, man, and keep striving, man. But I'm gonna tell you, it helps though to hear you guys, man. And it helps to
it helps to
know that brothers are out here not afraid.
Sure.
To face
sure.
Satan,
sure.
man.
And
the sister that's in the medical field, in the legal field, you know what, hats off to you guys too, man. But you know what I'm saying, like, but if y'all can for me one day, just let them understand that Satan is a conniving individual, man.
We know that.
He don't want us doing it.
We already know that.
He don't want us doing it.
We already know that. Yeah.
But Not as cool for you to say because you're strong and you're powerful and you build up. For those who are weak, it's hard. That's when you weak when you weak in that era, when you identify the fact that Satan is a cold, conniving individual.
Sure.
That's a tough battle, man.
It's tough, man.
It took a lot of studies, a lot of meetings, took a lot of church gatherings, it took a lot of positive individuals to be around you, whoever else, Waller and myself to have us equipped, man.
Yeah.
You know, Christ
yes,
said one time, and I don't mean to keep going back to the Bible and all that, but Christ said one time, when he came back, he didn't come to change nothing. He came to live what was already taught.
Right. Okay. Well, listen, let me do this. We got about 16 minutes.
Can I say hi to Pastor Waller real fast?
Sure you can.
Hey, what's up?
Hey,
how you doing?
Hey, Pastor Waller.
I love y'all and God bless, man. Yeah.
Thank
all
you.
Right,
thank you.
I love you too, my brother. I miss you, Pastor Waller. I miss all of you guys. I miss visiting to the station, but I'm grateful I'm on here right now, and I'm checking it out.
Oh, right, my. Well, you all right. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Okay,
and I love you. You know that.
Thank you.
Yes, right. That's right. Let me speak to the greater audience.
I will.
Because I can see on the podcast platform that there are people in Canada, there are people over in Nigeria, believe it or not, that are tuning into the show right now. There are people in Germany that are tuning into this show right now. And I want to say to you, in England, right now, as we speak, and I want to say to you, I don't care what your color is, don't let the enemy make a fool out of you, because that's what he come to do, keep filling the short. You can call that whatever you want to, but that's real talk right there. Anybody that's trying to send you down a dog rabbit road, you tell them, get on out of here. You ain't got nothing good for me. James Brown said it right. You like a dull knife that ain't cutting. All you're doing is talking loud, and you ain't saying nothing. You understand what I'm saying? That's where we come from now. Now, when you don't have to believe what I tell you. You ain't got to believe it. But let me tell you something. When you go out there and 0 below degree weather, you better put some boots on and some on your behind because you're going to get cold like a well digger's behind. Trust me. If you don't believe me, try me. Go over there to out where it's real cold and sit your behind on the ground and see how long you can sit there without your tail getting cold. Now, you can put, you can call that whatever you want to. You ain't got to believe in God, and that's it. That's still real. Of course, I'm going to tell you that Psalms 27:17 says iron sharpens iron. And that's when you get brothers and sisters come together with righteousness and truth and sharing that. We sharp iron. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing right here on Talk Straight. That's why I keep a format where we can talk straight. And
all
guess
right.
what? You don't need no microphone. You don't need a spaceship to take you home because doctor got the microphone. The master rapper's in the house. They said everything is going to be all right. Are y'all
all right.
I was there to witness. Never mind. You ain't
got
to be no witness.
You got one. I'm your witness. How you doing?
Go somewhere, 81 Will. Go somewhere with that. Doctor, I appreciate you sharing with us the facts.
Me too.
These are things that you, in your practice, see on a daily basis. Did you make that up, Doc? You didn't make that up, did you, Doc?
No, I didn't make that up. Right now, it's been a long day, but the thing is, I want to, for 15 seconds, the lady about medications. The medications that go through clinical trials, if one person has a side effect like a headache or swelling the ankle, they have to list that. But as physicians, when we make decisions to take care of, say, blood pressure and diabetes,
yes, ma'am,
there are many medications, but we have to take consideration allergies the patient may have, family history, other medications they're on. It's a lot of decisions we have to make. And so we are trained to make the best decision for the patient.
Okay.
I'm not saying you may not, you know, so I want to say that. But, again, I want to also say about opiate addiction. We, you know, this is seen in all races, all economic levels, not just, I heard someone say about people in the ghetto. I mean, I don't know what that quite means, but. We see, and unfortunately, Tennessee is the number one state in the country for opiate addiction.
Wow.
And, yeah, right. But it's seen in all races, all economic status. And the sad thing is my goal is I'm trying very hard to not get young high school, middle school kids involved with that, because honestly, studies have shown, and this, you know, May is Mental Health Month. A lot of the killings with 13, 15 year olds, they're on usually, you know, some illegal drug. Or they have some mental problems or something is not functioning right at home. So
yeah.
The foundation, I do all of that. So not only do I give my patients medicines, I also do the counseling. Every month we have a goal that we have to work towards. So I just want to say that. Enjoy your show. I'm going to call tonight. I have a long day ahead tomorrow, too. And Sarah, I'm seeing patients, too. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Well,
okay, bye-bye.
As well.
Thank you. Yeah, with Dr.
All right.
Ruben, he has my number. If anyone needs help, just give me a call. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye.
And I want to emphasize again that the point of Talk Straight is to be very candid about what's going on. Some people say, well, why are you talking about the negative things? Well, beloved, we can't fix a problem that we don't recognize. and be honest with ourselves. We'll never be able to fix it if we don't do that. Now, at the end of the day, there's some things that we don't look good. Talking about Negro, Black, and Colored folk right now. I can say that because that's me. I'm talking about me right now. It's the things we do in 12 that don't give us a good look. Everybody else sees us. We play like it don't, like don't nobody see us. But everybody else see our behind out.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to put the behind up right now. So you're not looking like that. Because I love you. Why are you doing that, doctor? Because I love you. How much do you love me, doctor? Like
peanut butter jelly, baby.
You better go somewhere to go with that, man. You understand what I'm saying? That's the only reason I do it. If I didn't do it, I wouldn't spend my time. Because I, heaven knows, I could be doing something else right now and probably should be doing something else right now. But I love
to say something to you personally.
Sure.
For the last three, almost 4 years, I've listened, I've tuned in, I've cried, I kicked, I screamed. And you know what, you and Pastor Waller, and even some of your listening audience, have helped me through a storm.
Well, good.
Whether it was, and when I had a joy to share, I shared the joy as well as the unjoy that I feel. And for that, I thank you guys. Whether anybody understand what I'm talking about or not, doesn't matter to me. I know.
Okay. That. All right.
And I thank you guys for that. And I don't want to not listen to the rest of the station, but I have some people here. They're getting a little anxious, and I don't want to be. I don't like disruption. So on that note, I'm not making excuses for anyone. I appreciate what I heard the doctor say. I didn't get to listen to the one about the coast, but I can't say it. I told you I had a few deep minutes.
Okay. You're good.
All right, 8112. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I tell the truth. I don't care how good or bad it sounds. Sometimes, and then I had to be careful and watch myself. I got two glasses on here, so I had to be careful. My point is, when people tell the truth, they come out better than when they tell a lie.
Absolutely.
Because you're giving out misinformed information to a lot of people when you get on this thing and all these people listening to you, lying and talking incorrect. You're not the doctor. You don't know what the doctor knows. She went to school. He went to school. And I hope that it works out well because, see, I had to go to the doctor, too, sometimes. I don't like going there. Tell no lie to nobody. Sometimes you will find yourself there talking about, oh, something wrong with me. So it pays to pay attention.
All right.
Thank you so much, and I love you guys.
All right.
All right, we love you, 8112.
Let's bring us back to our topic of discussion, guarding the mind from superfluity in life, excess, unnecessary things that can take you off into a tailspin, get you caught in a trap. That's what we want to avoid. Now, for anybody who want to do that, that's fine. I'm talking to young folk right now. You know how to reach me. You can give me a call anytime. Shoot me an email. Holler at your boy. Google Reuben Doctor, and you'll find out where to reach me. You know, you just Google me. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to find nobody as good-looking as I am. But go on Google, and you'll be able to catch. Holler at your boy. You want the truth, I got it for you. I've come to set the captive free tonight. All right, listen. Let me go around because we're getting ready to wrap this thing up.
Oh, Docket, I wish you hadn't had me muted. I would have liked to say hello to Peoria. I don't understand why that happens like that. But it's okay. I understand. I couldn't say hello to you because he had me muted. He didn't like what I was saying. But that's what you have to put up with in life. But how are you doing, lady?
I'm doing better. I had to take a break because I was going through my own challenges in life. So
I understand.
I can't deal with nobody else's things going on. So sometimes I had to take a minute.
Well, we all go through a lot of challenges. And really, some people just ignore them as just being noise and not challenges at all. And I would advise you to try trying that out, too. If they sound noisy, they just noise. They really ain't challenging.
Okay, but it's not noise to the individual, excuse me, that's going through what they're going through. To someone else, it may sound like noise, St. Louis, but that doesn't necessarily make it so.
I mean, when people outside trying to tell them different other than what they're experiencing. That's what I was trying to get at.
What you're saying, but noises in somebody else's ear may not be noise in yours. It may be your meaning of your life or your demise, sir.
All right.
Well, I hate to see people get in that position. Well, what I want to finish is this. My hat goes off to the state of Louisiana. Louisiana House panel advances bill to legalize recreational marijuana.
What?
Ma'am, I'm getting ready to get off.
Hold on,
I'm making a call.
Go ahead. Don't
be hollering because Ruben will mute you.
What I was saying
is that I really appreciate the state of Louisiana and about 28 others for working to legalize recreational marijuana. Not medicinal. There's two different classifications. And that means that people won't be on the street shooting at each other, kids getting caught in crossfire, and trying to further the distribution and street sales of something that will no longer be illegal. You guys have a happy day. And one thing, Ruben, rather than picking Tammy Terrell. Hello?
All right, go ahead. We heard you. All right.
Well, I was saying, James Brown, who sexually abused and physically abused a 16-year-old Tammy Terrell. I don't care too much for him. You have a nice week.
I love him every day. Listen, I hope those people in Louisiana unseat all those fools that made it possible for young people to kill themselves. I hope they get rid of all of them. But that ain't none of my business. I don't live in Louisiana. That's another story. Pastor Wallace, take us home, big brother.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Yes, sir.
You know what the Bible says. Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
You know, the Bible says, according to Scripture now, and, you know, we thank God for everybody who had a chance to talk, for those who were listening, for those who are just doing their own thing, trusting in themselves. You know, I know change is possible. Person realize you put God first, everything's going to be all right. Let me say this, Pastor Doc, because according to the book of James, chapter 4, verse number 7, I like that scripture because it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. On that note, I yield back to you because I've already submitted myself to God, so that's why the devil got to flee. You get power over the enemy, man. Just keep doing what you're doing. Stand on what you're doing, Pastor Doc. You're doing a fine job, man.
Absolutely. When you throw a rock and a pack of dogs, you know the one you hit because they scream the loudest. Yes. And we're going to keep on throwing rocks too. And the enemy going to scream, holler, and squeal because we hit his behind.
Yeah.
Keep on hitting them.
Got to do it.
Everything will be all right. You live and listen to Talk Show. We'll be back. Talk Straight. We'll be back next Tuesday night for another episode. Join us on behalf of our co-host, Pastor Rick Waller. And we thank each of our listening audience, wherever you are in the world right now. Thank you. And I don't ask you to agree with me. I want to hear what you got to say, and I want you to listen. For those people who are hungry for knowledge and truth, we come to feed you and set the captives free. We'll see you next week for another episode of Talk Street.
Thank you, man. Thank you. All right, we're done.